Hey everybody, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. We're going to have a great show for you today. It's going to be me and Vlad talking about crazy stuff.
Hey everyone. Yeah.
Cool. Well, before we get into things, I got to point out something for your last show. Not the show that was last week, the show before that, 2 weeks ago. You shot with Petri, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was this tweet that I want to make everyone aware about, which is you should probably go. Somebody discovered that you're his doppelganger. This is amazing. How many people have tried to find a doppelganger?
Nobody.
No, you're so lucky. Like, it's so lucky to find doppelganger. In the sea of 7.4 billion people, you found your doppelganger. This is crazy. So my question to everybody, I guess, in the audience is, if you found your doppelganger, please let us know. We want to see pictures. We want to see more of this. So use the comments below to let us know. Yeah. And you got to celebrate, man. This is amazing. And we should get
And find
Richard,
one for Nicola.
We should get Richard here on the show. Richard, if you're watching, you should come down here and we should do a
whole
show.
I already told him. Like,
we should do this
if
whole
thing. If he's ever in the Seattle area, just come here and we're going to shoot and it's going to be fun.
It's going to be amazing. Anyway, let's actually get to real news now.
Yeah. Xbox.
Xbox. Great. So a big week for Xbox. We announced that we're going to have a lot of preview coming up. A lot of the insiders are going to start seeing some of the new things coming up. One of the big things is an updated dashboard. So you're going to see some new cool things on the dashboard. We've worked a lot on performance and making the things just a lot more snappier. Mm-hmm. So now if you hit the home button, the Nexus button in the top, it will open actually a pane on the side, which is the guide. We can actually jump between things really quickly instead of having to go back home, which makes things a lot faster and quicker to do this. And we're interested to see what people think about this. It's going to be really cool. We've announced things around PC gaming as well. So we announced a game mode where you're going to be able to dedicate certain resources to your games running. So make sure they run as performant as they can be, which is a lot of cool stuff. And a lot of developers will be able to start seeing that actually now. I think it should be available in some of the latest
it's
builds.
It's rolling out.
Yeah. And then we're finally going to see some Beam integration. We bought Beam several months ago. We're going to be able to see Beam integrated in both PC. I think this week people will be able to start doing it. I might be wrong. And then we might be able to see Xbox doing the same thing, Beam streaming's coming up sometime in the very near future as well.
So I can just stream to Beam from Xbox?
Exactly. So from Xbox and PC, don't need any software. It just comes right there. You on Xbox, you would press the guide button. The guide would open and says start streaming. It'll start streaming directly to Beam. Nothing required.
That's actually quite amazing, especially for me, like a Microsoft employee. Like, I remember how we acquired Beam. And it wasn't a long time ago. And now their software is inside Xbox. It's not even Windows. It's Xbox, which is like a lot more complicated platform just because like, you know, it has a like more complicated architecture than even PC.
Yeah, and it's not as performant as a lot of the gaming PCs out there. So you got to keep everything lean and everything fast. And it's incredible to see how fast it was to get this working.
Excellent. Well done.
Yeah, so if you guys have tried it out, let us know what you're streaming. We want to play around.
Yeah. If you're developing software out there, so when you want to make it reliable and good and like you want to have a high quality software, you probably do testing, and especially like the automated testing. And what we did recently, we just open sourced the Visual Studio Test Platform, which is a big deal because if you want to build something on it, it's better to know what's inside, right? You can go in and take a look. And if you want to build something similar, you can just use the source code.
Oh yeah, and you can extend the platform as you wish and include it as part of your platforms. It works across Linux, Mac, everything. So it's a great way for developers to, you know, to integrate much more deeply into the test platform that we've been using for a very long time, actually.
Yeah.
And now it's finally open source. So it's already on GitHub. People can start looking at it. There's two GitHub repositories, one for docs and one for the actual source code of the suite. So everyone just take a look at this if you're interested, and it should be good stuff coming up from this.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Continuing on the dev side of things, there is a great post, actually, by Scott.
Scott Hanselman, that's right.
Yeah, Scott Hanselman never does bad things. So if you're a .NET developer, make sure to read it because there is a very good chance that you're going to use multiple .NET core SDKs in your project. And Scott explains how to deal with that.
Yeah, so we're moving away in .NET from using project.json to using everything in CSproj files now. And as we're moving towards this new way of handling dependencies and everything else, it's good to be able to use multiple SDKs, and you can still use project.json files mm-hmm. into your .NET core apps. But this is a great way to test your applications and to play around with different SDKs. And the way he does it, it's actually really cool. Can have each project you can specify what core SDK to use, and as you're moving different folders, the core SDK target actually changes, which is really cool. It's a great blog post. It's not that long. It's very quick to read through.
Back to kind of purely Windows thing. You know that the Slack team recently shipped a new version, and in fact, they shipped the version of Slack to Windows Store. The way they did it, because Slack was originally an Electron-based Win32 app, is that they made it a Windows Store app. And if, for those of you who don't know, Electron is basically a Chromium-based and like Node.js-based framework that when you make your apps using JavaScript and like HTML5, and then they just look like a regular apps on operating systems, and they also can use all the features of native platforms.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's basically essentially running on desktop platform.
Correct. Yeah, you can use even mix C and C++ code into
these
projects, and you can use native features. It's a lot of apps have been written this way. VS Code is an example of this.
It's a great
Electron.
Example. Yeah. So the Slack team actually decided, why don't we share this experience with everyone?
Yeah.
And Felix and Paul, they just made a blog post explaining how they made the Electron Windows Store app, which is all about the desktop bridge, right?
Correct.
We're talking about desktop bridge for a while now, and that's a great post from a partner explaining how they made the Electron-based Slack application Windows Store app.
Yeah, and they talk about how they use specific APIs for the store and notifications and how to integrate it. And they promise they're going to have new stuff coming up as well to tell us about this. So looking forward to read more about that.
Thank you, Felix, by the way.
And speaking about the Windows bridge, the desktop bridge, we have a great post by Michael Crump that he published actually just recently mm-hmm. on accessing specific Windows 10 APIs or Universal Windows Platform APIs from desktop applications like WPF or mm-hmm. WinForms, regular Win32, even C++.
Electron.
And I like this blog post because it talks about a specific APIs that you can use and how to access these APIs directly through Visual Studio. So it tells you where to go to get the specific WinMD file. It also talks about the desktop project. The NuGet package allows you to do this much easier. It talks about how you can actually use the desktop bridge to even access APIs that require identity, like the store APIs. So it's a great reference for anybody that's looking to make their Win32 applications better with using Windows 10 APIs. And just instead of having to write a whole mm-hmm. new WP applications, they can do this as a way to get there.
So if you are a Win32 app developer and you wonder how to get and acquire more users using Windows Store, these two articles, like from Slack from Michael, are the good starting points, right?
Agreed.
Excellent. So back from like purely technical stuff to people. Yeah. So there is a great new like show or series, Humans of Microsoft. The first episode just came out this week, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah.
Right. And this episode is about Jeffrey Snower. This show is not about like product. It's not about how Jeffrey Snower made the PowerShell, right? Mm-hmm. It is about Jeffrey Snower as a person, right? So the Channel 9 team just selects like interesting people at Microsoft, and those people just tell about themselves, and of course about their job.
Of course. I mean, it's no secret why Jeffrey was chosen, because he's a technical fellow. He's the creator of PowerShell. He's an architect of Windows Server. So he has a lot of products under his belt that mm-hmm. he has been a key into getting them out there to the world. And so he has a lot of experience. And it's worth getting this experience and this knowledge and just his thoughts about the way he works and the way he, you know, he thinks things work. And just about his life out there. And it's interesting to see how Microsoft works internally, too. Because
exactly.
It kind of just opens up the view to like inside of Microsoft.
Yeah, that was the original idea of Channel 9, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, show Microsoft inside.
Exactly. And this does that job nicely.
Yeah, show the
kitchen. So watch the first episode, and more episode will come along as well. Maybe they'll do one of us, you know? We're not important.
In 10 years.
Anyway, Kristen has a great blog post on training options, on the resources, on training options on artificial intelligence, machine learning, data science, including things like Cortana Intelligence Suite and massive training materials out there. So it's a great blog post that if you're interested in learning about this whole area of Microsoft or Microsoft technologies or even outside of Microsoft technologies, it's great. It talks about the learning series they've done, talks about blog posts, talks about videos, talks about all kinds of resources that you could be, you know, interested into learning about, and talks about who the people are that they built these. So Kristen has a great has done a great blog post that people can just bookmark and just get back to and whenever they want to do stuff.
Yeah, because like these days in media, there is a lot of news going about AI, about data analytics, about big data, about like getting all these insights from information from like open and like public sources. But that's a huge piece of technology behind that. And if you're really interested how to like how to make this stuff done, how to create something new, then you just go and read and like realize that that's not a good thing to do. But we have a plenty of learning resources for you, and we have a bunch of technology.
Right? Luckily, with Channel 9 and Microsoft Academy and all these different things, there's never a shortage of resources for learning anything.
Exactly. Like,
I guess the problem is which ones to use now.
Yeah, which like in which life you're gonna which life you're gonna spend watching
it?
Yeah.
Choices.
Choices. Yeah. Talking about choices. You've heard before that there was a great project of Microsoft and Trimble working on HoloLens application for architecture. Trimble continues working on these things, and they probably like a couple of 3 months ago they shipped SketchUp application on HoloLens, and it's a great thing for working with the 3D visualizations and in particular like 3D objects. They also worked with the University on Cambridge, like applying all these technologies they made for SketchUp on HoloLens. They worked with the University on Cambridge for for making I wouldn't say enough, but more like a set of technologies and methodologies on how to perform architecture, engineering, construction, and operation things. So basically, if you're maintaining a bridge, like and bridge may, you know, it always changes because like the earth, like it goes back and forth, and you're getting certain data, and then you start analyzing this data, and of course, like the visual way of analyzing the data is one of the best ones, right? So they were able to visualize it and use actually HoloLens for taking a look and kind of understanding what's going on. This is just this is just an example, and this is what they're working on with the University of Cambridge. So it actually applies HoloLens to real life things and like basically for not just doing business for also saving lives.
Now I'm wondering, is this part of the research grant that we were doing with HoloLens I believe a year ago, or is this something that Trimble has gone to University of Cambridge and they've decided to do together?
I'm not sure, but like it's obviously a part of the work that Trimble does with the University of Cambridge. I don't know if they use the grant.
It's interesting to see all the different things that we've done with the HoloLens. I was at CES earlier this month, and there was a lot of different partners and people using HoloLens in different ways. And a friend of mine was at NAMM last week, and they used HoloLens to pair with synthesizers. So it's just different ways to see how HoloLens is being used. So this is a great example of that.
Perfect. So we're moving to, as usual,
picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Yay.
And I start with mine. It's not usual, by the way, for me. I usually do like about HoloLens or AI, but I really love this stuff.
Education,
because it was a big challenge for us recently, and we're catching up, and it's a great space regardless. So basically, what we announced this week, first, we announced the Intune. For education. Intune is an infrastructure management solution, so basically it's how you manage your PCs when you have a lot of them, right? How you deploy things, how you manage what apps you can install, what you cannot, how you...
how users are accessing resources.
How users are accessing resources, sound indication, and so on. It's a cloud service, and we're announcing a specific version for education. So it's basically specifically tied for using it in a classroom like in the school environment, because they have a lot of specific requirements, right? And they don't have like huge budgets. They don't have a lot of people to manage it. So like it's specifically attuned for the educational environment. Second thing we announced, and that's like the biggest thing in my opinion, is a collection, a family of laptops essentially for education. And the great thing about this, though, they are really like low price PCs, low price laptops. They compete with Chromebooks, which is a big deal, from different, and those are from different manufacturers like Acer, HP, and others. Mm-hmm. They produce these great PCs, so they can sell them for like they can sell them for cheaper to schools.
Yeah.
And schools can adopt them and use. And this is a Windows 10 PC. This is a big deal.
And it's cool. And a lot of these PCs come with touch screens and come mm-hmm. with support for a pen and all kinds of things that is very important in the school environment for taking notes or for using any of the educational apps that are in the Windows Store right now.
Yeah, exactly. Store. And it was like a big project for PC OEMs to make it like cheap enough, right? Yeah. Not that expensive. It was a big deal for us for in tuning Windows 10, so it can run on this kind of hardware, right? And again, from the manageability perspective, there was also some work. So that's a great deal. Yeah,
it's a great story. I think we're gonna have some more news coming up as well around the space, which is gonna be cool. Now, my pick of the week is a bit different as well. And this is about public speaking. There was a great episode of On.net where we had Maria, Scott, Kendra, Casey, and Donovan talking about their experience with public speaking and how they've started with public speaking and how some of the tips and tricks they've been using and things around practicing and things about speaking and some of the things that you and I probably should be learning a lot. So it's a great video. It's actually, when I was watching this, it kind of feels more of like a podcast where they're just kind of discussing of all their experience. And it's a great way to spend some time if you're interested in public speaking or speaking in front of audiences, even speaking in meetings, etc. So it's a great video. So I definitely want to get some visibility out there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's all the time we had today. If we spend more time, I think they're going to cut us off. So thank you, everybody, for watching and spending this time with us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, and have fun.